Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from England, we hear from Father Ewan Marley, who is prior of the community in Cambridge. Father Ewan's preaching is entitled Interruptions.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed to the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed by the lakeside. One of the synagogue officials came up, Jairus by name, and seeing him fell at his feet and pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is desperately sick. Do come and lay your hands on her to make her better and save her life." Jesus went with him. The large crowd followed him, pressing all round him. Now there was a woman who had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years. After long and painful treatment under various doctors, she spent all she had without being any the better for it. In fact, she was getting worse. She heard about Jesus, and she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his cloak. "If I can touch even his clothes," she had told herself, "I shall be well again." And the source of the bleeding dried up instantly. She felt in herself that she was cured of her complaint. Immediately aware that the power had gone out from him, Jesus turned round in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples said to him, "You see how the crowd is pressing round you, yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" But he continued to look all round to see who had done it. The woman came forward, frightened and trembling because she knew what had happened to her. She fell at his feet and told him the whole truth. "My daughter," he said, "your faith has restored you to health. Go in peace and be free for your complaint." While still speaking, some people arrived from the house of the synagogue official to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why put the master to any further trouble?" But Jesus had overheard this remark of theirs. He said to the official, "Do not be afraid. Only have faith." They allowed no one to go with him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the official's house, and Jesus noticed all the commotion, the people weeping and wailing unrestrainedly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and crying? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. He turned them all out, and taking with him the child's father and mother and his own companions, he went into the place where the child lay. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I tell you to get up." The little girl got up at once and began to walk about, for she was 12 years old. This they were overcome with astonishment. He ordered them strictly not to let anyone know about it and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. There's a book by the Cistercian Basil Pennington on centering prayer, which he tells the story of the professor who retired. When he retired, he then said that all his working life, he felt his work had been interrupted by his students. And then he realized when he retired that the interruptions were his work. It's a good test of our character, but also I think a test of the two virtues of faith and hope, how we cope with interruptions. In this gospel, Christ is interrupted. It's interrupted in a way which would make it quite reasonable for him to insist that what matters is a little child who's dying. Surely that's the important thing. The woman has been ill, the woman who touches him in the crowd, but she's been ill a very long time. Surely she can wait. And indeed she has been cured, so why does he spend time looking for her and talking to her? Because everything is important. Although we prioritise, favourite modern words, though we have to decide what matters most, the fact is everything that happens comes from God. Not just holy things, spiritual things, certainly not supernatural or spooky things. Every moment comes from God. There's a great temptation to focus on a high good to the extent that we ignore other goods that we can do. There's a famous story of the Emperor Trajan, which is retold in Dante's Purgatory. Heading off for battle, a woman rushes up to his horse, him and his horse, that is, and ask for justice because her son has been murdered. And Trajan says, I will do this when I come back. I will see for justice. He says, you might not come back. In Dante's version, he says, well, he will stand where I am now. That is, the next emperor will care for you and give you justice. But she's persistent, so he realizes that he has a duty as emperor to do justice for the people. He gets off his horse, you might say literally off his high horse, and deals with her case. Then they rise into battle. It's provoked many paintings, some works of art, and generally the paintings are called The Justice of Trajan. Actually, Dante, although he does say it is a matter of justice, praises Trajan for his humility. Trajan, of course, is a pagan emperor, not a Christian, but all virtues begin as pagan virtues, then are taken up into the Christian virtues by the power of the Spirit. Christian justice is more than earthly justice. Christian hope is more than earthly hope. It is by the power of God. And that's why humility is a great test, because it means trusting. As I say, it's very easy to be focused on one good thing that we want to do, or possibly not such a good thing, but something we still want to do anyway. And then something gets in the way, and we miss the moment. God is speaking to us. God is asking us to do something, but we miss the moment. And so we have a story of Christ being interrupted, and Christ fulfilling his purpose on earth by reaching out to this woman, finishing his work with her, and then going forward. You might say, well, he is the Christ, he can cure, and does cure indeed, the little girl. He has the power to do what he wishes, and even though she dies, that's not the end, whereas we might have to rush to save someone's life. And sure, sometimes things like that happen. A doctor might say, no, I have something more important. But first of all, you have to listen to what's been asked. Possibly the thing you're being asked is important, as important, or at least too important to neglect. And the refusal to be interrupted in our stately progress through life, our determined line that we make in life, this determined furrow we are going to draw through the earth or over the sea, can become a great temptation. The Good Samaritan allows himself to be interrupted by the man who's fallen among thieves. The priest and the Levite, they've got more important business, so they keep going. And sometimes it's very hard to accept that we have to be the only person who can do some good here. It's not easy to stop if you see someone lying on the ground to see if they're all right. When you're in a hurry, they might say, well, someone else will do it. But you don't know that. You don't know that there's someone else. What you do know is God is speaking to you, asking you to do the right and the good thing. That requires faith and hope. Most of all, humility. Humility trusts in God's power. Humility understands God's power. And that's why humility is the most powerful virtue we can have on earth.